May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. I invite you to listen to the word of God. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. The Lord will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense to come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel reading is from the first chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 18. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he'd resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This morning's scripture passages include the story of Joseph receiving a visit from the angel after learning that his fiance, his betrothed, Mary, was with child. In this particular scripture passage, we encounter Joseph and are told that he's a righteous man. So he decides to make a good choice, a choice that God would be proud of, right? Instead of disgracing her, sending her out for ridicule, he will simply end their legal arrangement, put a close to their marriage, and not make a big deal of it. Which, from the vocabulary of where we were starting, seemed like a charitable, good, and righteous thing to do. But then the angel showed up. In this familiar story, an angel visits Joseph and invites him to choose an even more daring, holy, and righteous way. Instead of dismissing Mary, he invites Joseph to participate in what Mary is doing to bring forth salvation for the world. He invites David to choose to be a father, to be a companion to Mary, to side with community, belonging, and hope that would make a difference not only for his family, but for the world. I'm struck with this question of how I feel about Joseph's decision. On the one hand, I am grateful that he listened to the angel, but there's a little part of me that wishes he'd been formed in a better way so that it didn't take an angel to get him to the right answer, right? Believing that he was righteous, he concocted what he thought was a righteous and faithful, extraordinarily gracious plan, right? I'll simply let Mary go, release her from this engagement, this arrangement that we're in, and not bring disgrace to her. It takes the angel showing up for him to dare to imagine a much wilder possibility and to choose it, to live into that future. At the heart of our gospel, again and again, we hear stories of people who choose the risky thing, the daring thing that is belonging with one another and believing in possibility, that choose in the face of adversity not to take a safe step away that will insulate us from risk, but to draw closer. Jesus is always doing this, drawing close to those who are outcast, drawing close to those who are sick to bring healing, bringing together people who would otherwise be divided at times that are uncertain in the face of a world that's full of complexity. Jesus keeps drawing us together. And in this gospel passage, here from early in the story of Jesus, we have Joseph being visited by an angel in a dream, choosing belonging, choosing to tie his future to Mary's for the sake of what will happen. And we know the rest of the story. We rehearse it every year, and it fills us with joy to rehearse these patterns of the story of the nativity, of Christ's birth, of a God who chose to take on human form and to be born into this world, a God who is with us. Emmanuel, God who belongs here with us in the complexity, in the mess, in the difficulty, and the challenge. Perhaps the invitation of this morning's gospel then is to be people who dare to choose that better way, a better way that brings uncertainty and risk, but that claims belonging and possibility. A part of the challenge of our human lives is that we can only imagine what we can imagine. We start from the world as it is, and as we began to imagine a something better, we start with the vocabulary of what we know. We start with signs of hope that we've seen, and we make them grander. We can't imagine something that has been inconceivable. In our Hebrew Bible text today from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah casts us this vision of life that's flourishing, of a desert that's sprung to life, that's blooming, that's full of beautiful richness and flourishing. It's not the normal state of the desert, but it happens. Perhaps you've seen it. It happens even here in our Southern California deserts when the rains come at just the right time. It's real that the dry lands become a pool, that desert lands become the home of rushes and reeds, that flowers spring forth out of dryness. Just after Thanksgiving, I got to spend some time at a family cabin in Julian in the San Diego County Mountains, and we took a day's adventure from Julian into the Anza Borrego Desert State Park, which was blooming like a good spring at the end of November. The San Diego Union Tribune included an article about this somewhat rare phenomenon of a late fall desert bloom, which the director of the state park says isn't a sign of catastrophe or calamity, but of the resilience built into the plants and animals that have evolved to live in the desert. They are programmed with the kind of tenacious possibility that takes advantage of rain whenever it comes. And if it's in the middle of October, when the days are roughly the same length as they would be in the spring, the seeds can germinate and become plants and set flowers and reproduce for another generation to lie in possibility as seeds that will be there ready for the rain when it falls again. There's something powerful in my imagination about this kind of tenacious life that is ready to take advantage of just a few drops of rain when they come at just the right time and claim just that small offering of grace as enough to set down roots and to set forth blooms and to flourish. Our world is rich with resilient life that takes the little bit of grace meted out and lets it become a flourishing of life in us. So when Isaiah cast this vision of the world to come, of deserts transitioned into fertile places, I think he's speaking from experience. I imagine that his experience in the ancient Near East also had in it these phenomena. The beauty of wildflowers springing forth after desert rains that come at just the right time. It's not the normal state, but we've seen it and it's possible. Which is the beginning point for so much of our practice of the gospel. We've seen it and we know that it's possible to be people of grace and hospitality and love. People who choose belonging with and for each other. People who decide, even though it's impractical and it's going to take work and it might cost us something, we decide to care for and about each other. We choose to belong together in families and in communities, in church congregations, in the world. We choose to claim one another, trusting that, as was the case for Mary and Joseph, somehow God will be at work in the midst of this belonging together, and salvation will find a home. Like those desert seeds that lie dormant waiting for the rains to come, we trust that God's possibility will be lodged in us, and that our choices of care for one another, our choosing of risky belonging to and with one another, will bring life and fertility and flourishing. I'm grateful to live in California for a number of reasons, but one of them is that Saturday Night Live is on at a reasonable hour. Last night, one of my favorite singers, Brandi Carlile, was the musical artist on Saturday Night Live. And one of the songs she sang is a love song she wrote for her wife, Catherine, during the pandemic. It's called You and Me on the Rock. Brandi Carlile grew up in Oregon in church, but was denied baptism as a young person because of her sexuality. But she remembered the stories that were taught to her at a vacation Bible school, a parable from Jesus about building your house on a rock. And it sat and bounced around in her head and imagination until it took form of a love song that speaks of a flourishing of life that she found in the midst of a pandemic that stripped her of the ability to do the thing that was her primary identity, to sing in front of groups of people. Losing that, she found a foundation that was solid in her faith, in the love she shared, in her partnership and marriage with Catherine, and the children that they're raising together, was for her a rock. And in the song, she uses metaphors of water and rain and flood as a contrast to the solid rock that she has built her life on. She writes vivid poetry. She says, it's a big sea, but it can't touch you and me. It's just a water view. And what a view. The water view is a glimpse into the reality that we live face to face with the things that threaten us and the things that give us stability. We live in the midst of the confidence of the relationships we claim, our belonging with Christ and with one another in community, the relationships of our families and our commitments, live right alongside so much that threatens to destabilize us. The realities of mortality, fear and division, our own structural inequalities that are baked into our systems, these sit side by side, and we're invited to be people who choose still to claim one another, to live with one another. On this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate joy. We light the pink candle. We take a break. Well, it's not really a somber season. We take a break from the seriousness of the blue candles to light a pink candle and to call for joy. I've been inspired by the writing of Cole Arthur Riley, who posts prayers and liturgies online as Black Liturgist on Instagram particularly. You can find her work. In her book, This Here Flesh, she writes about joy as a person who lives with depression. She writes about joy confessing her own difficulty in accessing it. She writes, joy, which once felt as frivolous as love to me, has become a central virtue in my spirituality. I'm convinced that if we're to survive the wait for justice and liberation, we must become people capable of delight and people who have been delighted in. She says, some of us go our whole lives without ever being, or rather knowing that we are, truly enjoyed by a person. We can become cynical about communal affirmation, hoping that our affirmation of self will suffice. We try to meet our self-hatred with the sound of our own voice because this, for whatever reason, is seen as a superior strength that I think we are made to be delighted in. She invites us to become communities that choose to delight in one another and to believe that we're delighted in by others. Communities that belong not only in the midst of hardship, but also in the midst of joy. Communities and relationships that claim the possibility that comes from our being with and for one another. And so the difficult choice that Joseph makes in choosing not to dismiss Mary, but to become a partner with Mary, to participate in a family life that will allow Jesus to be born and raised in a community of belonging so that he can be salvation for the world. This choice is not only one of risk, but also one of joy. And our despair and our heartbreak become companions to our rejoicing and our delight, giving a richness to the truth of joy when it emerges in our midst. On this third Sunday of Advent, as we prepare for the incarnation, as we get ready for the joy of Christmas, there are so many signs that expect us to be happy, to sing the merry songs, to send the happy greetings. But the reality is that life carries with it also heartbreak, grief for the people missing from our celebrations, sadness at the way a sickness prevents someone from joining the party, grief at the one who's no longer living, who we wish were present and a part of our gathering, an awareness that while we celebrate Christ's coming, there's still so much to do before the world looks like the promise of God. We're aware of the pervasiveness of homelessness in our community and the continuing realities of sexism and racism, of prejudice that separate us from one another. We're aware of so many ways this world is not yet ready for the fullness of a Merry Christmas. But here in the midst of the journey, we claim joy, not because we've ignored or denied those things, but because somehow here in the midst, we're a people who have the courage to choose to belong with and for each other and with and for Jesus, who gives us assurance that we are delighted in, who finds joy in each of us, who sees the divine spark in every one of our lives, who claims possibility in the work of solidarity. May we choose this day to belong with and for one another, to make the risky decisions to claim our part in the family of God, the part we have to play in the risky work of living love and justice in this world. May it be so. Amen.